There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast.
On the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I want a little bit more juice.
You'll get your fucking juice.
No, juice.
You'll get your juice.
No, that's what your
grandfather said to himself when he woke up every
take
day.
Take it easy. Before
didn't know he was looking into a mirror. He's just like, why do I keep seeing yellow stars everywhere? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to ignore that. Oh, how I wish I could spin a top. Maybe for some gold coin that maybe be secret chocolate money.
Right.
Oh, but I guess I'll never be able to do that. Back to shoveling bones into a ditch.
Well, I don't think my grandfather sounded like a slovenly American man.
No, he sounded like this. Yes!
Children, bring me a hamburger!
You did. Yeah.
You didn't bring me hamburger.
He sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger after a stroke. That's about right.
I mean, yes.
By the way, before we start the show, very, very special announcement. Henry Zebrowski just dipped a bacon-filled croissant into his coffee.
Ham-filled croissant, other cured pure pork fucking cutting. And I will say,
he did it in public like it was normal.
I will defy any human. You tell me if that is not normal or
not. It is not normal.
It is normal. I am drinking coffee. I am eating a ham and cheese croissant. It is a breakfast item. Anybody, you take a breakfast item, you can dunk it in your coffee and you can suck on it. It's like pouring maple syrup on your eggs.
That's not at all like pouring maple syrup on your eggs whatsoever.
See, Marcus has got the gears clicking. He understands what I'm talking about.
Well, put it on the Facebook page.
And sometimes it's about mixing taste palettes.
Uh-huh.
I also wanted to make it softer so it would go down easier.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a chicken's throat.
Why for yes or no for absolutely disgusting on the Facebook page if you think dipping your ham-filled croissant into your coffee is normal breakfast fare.
I'm pleading the fifth.
That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us, as always,
innocent man Henry Zebrowski, who was born innocent.
What?
All he wants is to combine his liquids and his foods.
That's normal, though. That's not a bad way to do it.
This is innocent Henry Zebrowski.
It is innocent
Henry Zebrowski. Yeah, it's boring.
It's good. It's good. Henry Zebrowski's movie was just named by The New Yorker the best movie of the year. That's The Wolf of Wall Street.
To go see it. They cut 4 minutes off of it just to make it not NC-17.
That's brilliant.
So you can beat off to it.
So all the full frontal Henry Zebrowski is gone.
Yeah.
Out of the picture.
Out of the picture, I guess.
That's very, very sad.
It's fine. It was probably overshadowed by the rest of my body. Mm. My penis can hide on film.
Isn't that something elusive?
Yeah, it just goes like... Up inside of me. It was
like an alien creature?
And just hides.
Very disgusted.
Well, today we have a very disgusting topic as well.
Speaking of aliens, we're leaving the planet Earth, and we're going to a place called Planet Serpo.
Oh, I've been waiting to do this for months.
This is right. Henry Zebrowski's dream has come true, and he's forced Marcus and I into it, which is actually kind of a nightmare for us.
Oh, absolutely, because it's just, they can't... Anybody who's writing anything about aliens just can't simplify a thing. It always is super complicated. The journey to the planet Serpo is about basically an anonymous donor, we'll say an anonymous source from an entity called the DIA.
Oh, I thought it was the Koch brothers.
Is it? No, it's not. No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's propaganda.
Oh, I see.
You're reading the wrong website.
I'm an idiot.
Basically, in like November of 2005, someone started anonymously posting this, like, apparently, like, super secret information from a top secret program where there was an exchange program of 12 astronauts from the United States.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah, USA, all the way.
And sent in exchange for aliens from the planet Serpo, these aliens known as Ebens, because we used to call them extraterrestrial biological entities, so we started knowing them as EBs or Ebens. Took them to their home planet Serpo, where they lived for 13 years, and then came back to tell the tale.
I'll tell you, if you name your kid Eben, he's eating paste.
Yeah.
Eben's always eating paste in the corner, isn't he?
Mommy, why do you wear such long skirts? I like the way that they feel.
Becky, I knew we should have called him Steve, goddammit.
I made a little Nazi swastika with my Legos, mommy. I ate all the peanut butter.
Did he get into our peanut butter and our video stash? Unbelievable, our Nazi propaganda films. But Henry, speaking of Nazis, You said at the beginning of the show, before the show, we cannot move on and discuss Serpo until we discuss.
I was reading a book called Secret Journey to the Planet Serpo.
Okay.
Not subtle. there's a lot of this is not very subtle. That was written by a man named Len Kasten, who Len Kasten. They went and they basically said he came out. He did a show on Coast to Coast about 6 months ago, and he came out basically saying like it's like you never know when the government is going to know we're getting too close to the truth. It's going to shut down the Serpo.org website,
which
was started. As we go through the articles too, we're going to learn how the website also changed hands 3 different times. It changed hands, it changed styles of writing.
If the website ever shuts down, don't blame the government. Blame the man who owns it. He forgot to pay his WordPress account.
I bet Bill Ryan, just like only had $15 in his bank account and it just defaulted.
God damn it.
So what Len Kasten wrote when he wrote his book, Secret Journey to Planet Serpo, which is filled with amazing insights of his own onto the material that he found on Serpo.org. We'll just say that Len Kasten basically just ripped off all this information that someone put on another website, put it into a book that he said was for, you know, history to read. And it's all very stupid. So here we go.
Capsule.
So in the prelude.
All right, clear that throat.
Before presenting the Serpo story, it is necessary to convey some preliminary information about important events that preceded the actual voyage. Knowing about these events will give the reader the historical background necessary to understand why MJ-12, the president, and the Pentagon were willing to send 12 American Air Force astronauts to a distant star system in an alien starship in 1965.
Uh-huh.
While the events in Germany and Antarctica in the 1930s and 1940s may seem remote from American government post-war space-related decisions, there is a critical connection. After the war, the U.S. military...
Wait, go back and read that. What was that?
This is just fact.
Yeah, no, go no, back. No, no, and I feel no, like that is, sentence was important, though.
No, this is what I'm saying. While the events in Germany and Antarctica in the 1930s and the 1940s, they seem remote from the American space decisions.
Right.
But they're not.
American space decisions?
Space decisions. Space-related decisions.
That's what NASA is doing?
No, NASA, they're making them space decisions.
They had another space-related mission the other day. So after the war, U.S. military was justifiably alarmed about the Nazi development of anti-gravity fighter discs housed in their secure icebound rebound at New Schwabenland, Antarctica.
New Schwabenland.
Now, they made a place New Schwabenland. Now, New Schwabenland was where they're going to put their most white people. Now, this is also written about this thing, where they collected... They wear chocolate for shoes. They wear sausages for hats.
Oh, I love it there.
Love it down in New Schwabenland. This is also where Hitler's living after he faked his suicide in 1945.
Very interesting.
And he's still running his army of anti-gravity discs. They also have collections of women that they consider the racially most pure. They're called the Antarcticuses.
Antarcticatists. Whatever the fuck they call their language.
Antarcticatists, which I guess just means big-titted white women.
Oh, okay, I
understand. For Antarctica, like, very cold.
Oh, yeah,
which is, like, that's why they brought them down there, I guess, so they can snuggle up between their Jürgendurgs.
Jürgendurgs.
Is that what you call tits in German?
I think so, why not?
I think they're called Jügelungs.
Merkels.
Jügelungs.
Yeah.
That is great. So
sounds like an old-timey Model T starting up there.
It's
good.
But it's also the sound of sucking on a German woman's tits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is, thank you. So the reason why I bring this up is because, well, as we all know, now, you know, Nazis have been working on these anti-gravity discs since the 1930s. Apparently, according to, I can't memorize all the German names, but one of the guys' whose name is Jürg Reikers, he came forward and he said they've spent, like, millions of dollars working on these anti-gravity discs. And basically, the government says, like, there's no way we can go against these zip-zopping discs. They got their lasers in the zip-and-zopping.
So what's the difference between like one of these discs, or is it a disc?
It's a disc. Well,
what's the difference?
So
it sounds like a drone.
Let's go back even farther. Right now we're in 1947 in Antarctica. Brr, put your hats and parkas on.
Let's
get back in the time machine and go back in 1909. This is all very important for you to know
before we get to
get into the actual meat of the episode. Karl Haushofer Karl Haushofer, Karl Ernst Haushofer, was chosen as the Japanese ambassador after being like a super soldier during World War One for Germany.
Okay.
So he went over to Japan to go hang out, I guess basically to show off his fucking schwanz to a bunch of Japanese dicky dickies. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, sure.
And so when he went over there, he got introduced to a group of people called the Black Dragon Society, which was like
awesome.
The secret society underneath the... So this is, again, we could have done about four episodes on the three different topics I just named. So I'm just going to try and rip through this so yeah. that we can understand. So,
right,
that we
so
can
the Black Dragons,
the
what are they underneath?
The Black Dragon Society is a group of... They're like an ultra-fascist secret society that works within the Japanese Empire, right? Mm-hmm. But they worked for another secret society called the Green Dragon Society, which mm-hmm. is a group of monks, right, that meditated and talked to another secret society called the Green Dragon Society and then the Green Men Society.
Uh-huh.
The
okay.
The Green Dragon Society
right.
talked remotely using their brains to the Green Men Society mm-hmm. that lived in a group of mountains that became known as Palata, which is also known in that is Tibetan.
You got 20 more seconds. I'm about
to
run out.
No, it's
okay.
But it's Tibetan for the term snake land, right?
Okay.
Now, snake land is like they talk, so the green men talk to these green dragons. Mm-hmm. So the Green Dragons talked to the Green Men, and they sent their psychic messages to the Green Dragon Society, and the Green Dragon Society wrote it on a piece of paper and gave it to the Black Dragon Society, and they gave it to Haushofer. And basically,
so does that mean that only the Black Dragon Society can only talk to black men?
No, absolutely not, because they're Asian.
No.
Matter of fact, that's
Green Men.
No.
It just
no.
Seemed, okay, so the Black Dragons can talk to the Green Dragons because they're both dragons, and the Green yeah. Dragons can talk to the Green Men because they're both green.
And
so we have a middleman here.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. There's a lot of middlemen here. Someone should talk to them about, what was it, Heinz Automobile. Who cut out the middleman? Amoco. Amoco cut out the middleman.
Amoco. Yes.
So basically, so they thought that they were talking to this ancient Japanese dragons, and through this chain of command, they gave Haushofer the plans for anti-gravity discs and said, go back to Germany, make these anti-gravity discs, because the Green Men have this thing they called the 5,000-year plan, which involved making fascism across the entire world, which basically parroted the reptilian gray agenda for our planet, creating
right.
the NWO. And so it turns out they thought that they were just talking to green dragons. They weren't just talking to green dragons. They were talking and having dinner with reptilians that lived underneath the Batala, right, for thousands of years.
I can only imagine it's like Harrison Ford in what is it, Temple of Doom,
mm-hmm.
that bizarre reptilian dinner when he just.
But even faker.
But even more fake. Yeah.
So the idea is, basically he said, go to find the perfect like German dude, create a fascist government in Germany. We're going to use our fascist government and our gigantic army of our anti-gravity discs. You use your anti-gravity discs, and we're going to take over Russia together. Then we'll take over all of Asia, and then we will be able to create a fascist Wunderland.
So the Green
on the
Men,
Earth.
The Green Men gave an information to the Green Dragons, they gave it to the Black Dragons, and they gave it to, we'll call him Heinz.
Yeah.
That's what started Hitler
because he saw Hitler at his trial when he went to trial for the Bierhold Putsch.
Uh-huh.
He saw him talking, and mm-hmm. he was like, man, this Hitler's got something special. We're going to hire this Hitler. He's going to be the face of our new German empire.
Right.
And then he went off the rails, ruining the Green Men's 5,000-year plan.
I mean, 5,000 years.
Which seems like...
It's long.
I don't think that you...
Patience.
It should. How did it just get ruined?
Yeah, how did they fuck up the 5,000-year plan in, what, the first 20 years?
Really quick.
I just feel like it doesn't take 5,000 years to control the world.
I don't think so.
I mean, how long did it take America? 2 years before we won World War II?
There's lots of flaws. Yeah. This is what they said. So this is the problem. So
yeah, and how does that work into the 3,000-year Reich?
Oh my God.
Seems like there were some conflicting messages going on.
I just
here.
Feel
it's almost like none of this is real. God damn it.
Someone needs to write these minutes of the meetings down.
Right.
This is the problem, is that you can't just keep just sort of like putting things together and just be like, oh, yeah.
All right.
So basically what this shows is the Americans were like standing around with their dicks up their ass, like basically being like, well, these flying discs are going to come over from here from Antarctica, because they're already, technically there was a bunch already submerged around Mexico. This is also in there. There was a whole Mexican thing in the Panama Canal where discs were hidden in the Panama Canal. There's a lot of information.
The Panama Canal was ours.
You'd like to think.
Yes. All right. So
basically America knew that we needed to get some fucking discs prontissimo. And so, lo and behold, 1947, let's take a fucking dune buggy out to New Mexico and visit Roswell and see where the first crashes happened, which is where the Serpo story begins.
Okay, so we're at Serpo, 1947, Roswell, New Mexico.
Yes, and so the crash...
The Serpo story.
So basically, in Roswell, the real story is
usually when people give background... It clears it up.
No.
You know, usually a nice base will be a good jumping point off for education.
I'll post all the articles I've written.
And I'm gonna go ahead and say that we didn't need to know all that to understand
yes,
Serpo.
Yes, you did, though, but it's in the book. It is 50 pages of this book before it even gets to the
All right, so let's go to
1947,
New Mexico.
Wasn't just one thing that crashed. It was two things that crashed. That's right. The real story, as was fact-checked by a man named Brandon that... Len Kasten keeps saying, like, a man who was very... I'm trying to find this quote. A man who was very big on the internet. Brandon.
Brandon from 12-year-old...
What's his name? Oh, yes.
Booger-faced Brandon.
Oh, no, it's Bruce. Bruce Allen Walton, also known as Branton, has emerged on the internet as one of the most authoritative figures about alien colonies on Earth. Yeah, he wrote a website called The Omega File.
Yeah, I've read some stuff from Branton.
Okay. A lot of stretchy pants.
And so basically when the ships crashed in Roswell, they were all dead except for one, EB-1 that they called, and they took him to Los Alamos, the super secret testing facility, and talked with it. He had a little box with him. Apparently what they learned from him is that he wasn't even a scientist on the ship, he was just a mechanic, so he had no idea why they were there or what they were doing there. He spoke in high tones, like,
very nice.
Which is, again, very similar to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which, according to Serpo, Journey to Planet Serpo, Steven Spielberg was given the true story of what happened at Serpo, and he wrote that movie as a part of propaganda to get us used to the idea that it's real.
Well, that's the thing about this.
Lots of offshoots.
There's a good coast-to-coast about that, and a lot of people are saying, well, did Steven Spielberg take the idea from the government? Mm-hmm. Was he given all the secrets? Or did all of these people watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
And then just write this
take
story?
Take it really seriously. And I'm going to...
Oh,
I,
dang, I
lean towards the latter.
News report ain't been on repeat all night.
Yeah.
So the basically...
God, I wish I could go to the movie theaters the same way that they do. They just think it's all
they
real.
They just think it's real. I wish I had that naivete.
That's beautiful.
This alien had they finally figured out, like, they had this communication device from the alien ship. They couldn't get inside the alien ship because it made them physically nauseous. Yeah. One of the scientists said that when they went inside of it, it made him feel like he was taking a rocket ship to hell.
Whoa. That's amazing.
And so he sent 5 messages back to Earth, basically saying, like, we have landed here on Earth. All of our they gave the EB the communication device. He finally figured it out, and he said, you know, all of the dudes here are dead. I'm the last one. Come get me. And which is obviously like a general just sitting over his shoulder as he's playing with the communication box, basically saying like, and the U.S. government wants to do an exchange program with you and some astronauts so they can just send people to you. And they came back and said yes, and they set up a date 10 years in the future. To come show up with the ship and pack all the fucking 12, you know, holiday astronauts into it and send them off to Serpo.
And what a lucky bunch of astronauts they are. So that brings us to 1957.
So this is 1967. So 1967 is when the program actually started. And
1965.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you've got your missed facts wrong.
Because I've got the facts right here in front of me. Yeah. Uh-huh. I've got an email from the source.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, all this comes from...
Is this Brenton?
This is not Brenton. This is a man known as Anonymous.
Anonymous.
Oh, Anonymous.
Now, Anonymous was sending emails to, I guess... It was to Victor Ramirez. There was Victor Ramirez and Bill Ryan who ran Serpo.org, but they used to just be on, like, message boards on, like, 4chan.
Uh-huh.
And so they just started getting emails saying, like, this is super... And these are the exact word-for-word emails they said that they got.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first part of this email we've covered quite a bit, but let's start. We have already covered all the Alamogordo stuff, all the Roswell stuff. Let's start with the exchange program. In 1965, we had an exchange program with the aliens. We carefully selected 12 military personnel, 10 men and 2 women. They were trained, vetted, and carefully removed from the military system. The 12 were skilled in various specialties. Near the northern part of the Nevada test site, the aliens landed and the 12 Americans left. One entity was left on Earth. The original plan was for our 12 people to stay 10 years and then return to Earth. But something went wrong.
Yeah, they don't have clocks. That's what they discovered. But at the same time, they set the date. This is the first flaw.
The aliens set the date?
The aliens set the date to come get them, but they don't have clocks.
Yeah, they have no clocks. So, they have no actual way of telling time.
The humans have no clocks or the aliens have no clocks?
The aliens have no clocks. They don't perceive time as we do. And in fact, they seemed highly amused at the way we perceive time.
It is kind of adorable if you think about it.
Much like it's almost as if someone read Slaughterhouse 5 and took elements from Space Odyssey.
They're taking a Serpo, which is a giant adobe. Like it's a Mexican's dream. Out there, they live in a bunch of clay huts, and it's a double sunned world.
All right. Well, before they got to Serpo, I mean, how long is the trip over to Serpo? I mean, I feel like 10 years.
Nobody knows because the timepiece didn't work.
Yeah, they estimated that it was going to be 262 days.
Doc from Back to the Future driving this fucking ship?
I mean, I don't think that he was anywhere involved. I think he was in acting school. At the time,
becoming one of the best actors in American history.
Yes, absolutely. No, but apparently they were kept in these eggs in the actual ships, and all they ate was white paste because they couldn't get to their rations. They apparently packed something like 90,000 pounds of rations into this gigantic ship, and then when they got there,
of what?
Rations.
What happened to you?
I always thought it rhymes with Haitians.
Rations?
I don't know. I'm not a soldier.
Rations.
I don't know if my military training doesn't show.
Right.
But
so all these evens were just eating white paste rations, which makes sense.
Funny thing is, I looked at their manifest because apparently Anonymous did get a hold of the manifest.
All this information came from a 3,000-page debriefing document that was written by Carl Sagan in 1978.
Was it now?
That's where this information came from. It was handwritten by Carl Sagan. I guess he died way long before he was able to reveal the truth.
Ah, yes, of course.
Well, I mean, they took.
This is not the Carl Sagan, though.
Yes.
It's a different Carl Sagan.
No, Carl, it's Carl Sagan. He runs a tire shop out in Boise.
Three A's,
I mean, they took a ton of shit. They took a lot of clothing. They took 18 hats.
Wow.
God, can't have enough hats.
Nice
because
fedora.
These tiny brown, gray-looking things are not, like, they're not wearing hats. They don't even have wigs.
Definitely not.
So no sketch comedy on fucking Serpo, I guess.
Sounds like they travel like hipsters going home for Christmas. 18 hats? Who needs 18 hats?
50 different types of footwear.
Oh, come on.
Gotta get your flats, gotta get your ballet flats.
60 pairs of gloves.
Yeah.
10 containers of military-style sanitary gloves.
This is how
your fingers up your pussy.
Oh, yeah, that's actually probably going to be needed.
They brought an x-ray machine.
For fun,
1,200 food tests. Here's the funny thing. They brought 1,200 food testing kits, but as far as food itself, they only brought 25 pre-packed containers of sea rations.
That's
100 pre-packed containers
Not even
of freeze-dried
a month.
Food items, 100 cases of various canned food items, 7 years' worth of vitamins, 100 containers of energy bars and snack items, 1,000 gallons of water, 150 military survival food kits, 16 boxes of various alcoholic wines, 150 cases of drinking fluids, chewing gum,
wines.
Lifesavers, and various other miscellaneous food items.
So Lifesavers?
They only brought enough food for 2 years. They knew they were going for 10. The military didn't even know whether they could actually eat the food on planet Serpo or not.
Well, technically they did because, there's another side story to this where JFK let this all happen. JFK gave the green light to let the Serpo program happen because it had already been worked on by the CIA and the OSS. Okay. With the OSS before they were the CIA. They worked on it before with the crashed objects that happened in the 1930s. We've been working with aliens since like 1922, getting stuff from that. And basically they let JFK take the fall on it just in case this whole thing was a disaster. But they knew that they had food and shit.
And that's why he was assassinated?
That's in the book, too.
Is that it?
That's just one of the reasons why he was a part. There was a conspiracy to assassinate him.
Well, there was a conspiracy to assassinate him.
Yeah, that was
very true.
I agree,
true,
absolutely. We don't even have time to read this interview I have with a caretaker and Ronald Reagan, and him them reading the transcript of them telling Reagan that this program happened.
Well, I'm sure Reagan forgot about it. Perhaps that's why he had Alzheimer's. They knew you could tell. Well, Reagan's a good guy to tell all your secrets to.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into the planet itself, the planet Serpo. There was it was never dark on planet Serpo because of the two suns. They were located within the Zeta Reticular solar system, which there are other Pleiadian planets in that system.
Pleiadian
right?
planets come from that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And apparently, the greys come from Alpha Centauri.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, they do. So how did they know that there was
going to be... They had to wear sunglasses also 24-7. Oh, that was true. They all had about like an endless supply of sunglasses.
Yeah, very, and they had to cover their bodies at all times, even though it was very hot.
How did they know... Well, it's much like the Middle East, I suppose. How did they know that they were going to be able to eat the food on planet Serpo, though?
They brought some, I guess.
Oh, okay.
They didn't really say...
There's
lots of nuts and bolts missing out of this story.
Oh, okay.
I do know as far as the food of the Ebens, most of it caused them intense constipation.
Okay.
And they had to drink the bread-like substance that they gave them. It wasn't exactly bread, but it was bread-like.
Okay.
And that's what they say about a lot of the food on planet Serpo, is that they had potato-like vegetables.
Well, yeah, because they're not technically potato because they ain't from Earth.
Tomato-like substances. The only thing that had no resemblance whatsoever to Earth food was this strange sort of vine that they would cut down and they would cook and eat. That was not palatable whatsoever to the American stomach. They could not handle that one.
They should have some edamons up there.
They ate a lot of fruit. They did not eat meat.
No, however. Because the Ebens do not believe in killing animals.
No, they
are. So there are animals on planet.
They also drink milk from a tree.
Yeah, it's like they cut things out of it, and it's like the cum of the tree comes out of it, and they suck on it.
Yeah, it's really great. So there's many animals then on Serpo as well.
Animals are my favorite.
There are animals on Serpo as well. Yeah.
Not hunted, they're just living in total unity and peace, huh?
Well, the strangest was the beast, which looked like a large ox. The animal was timid and never seemed to be hostile. Another animal looked like a mountain lion, but had long fur around the neck. This animal was curious, but was not considered hostile by the Ebens.
Hey, what you doing, huh? Hey, what you doing? You play softball?
You ever think we should start killing and eating these goddamn annoying animals?
Yes. yes, I sit over here. I sit in my own dookie.
You sit in your own dookie. I mean, you think that's appropriate?
I hate these things.
Yeah.
But this is the
Get out of here.
One. This is the best one, though.
Okay.
During the exploration of Quadrant 4 of the Southern Hemisphere, the team found a very long and large creature that appeared to be a snake. This creature was deadly, as explained by the Ebens. The head of the creature was large and contained almost human-like eyes. This was the only time our team used their weapons and killed the creature.
They called it the McNeely.
Ooh, the Holden McNeely.
The Ebens didn't appear to be upset that the team killed the creature, but they were upset that they used a weapon. The team brought four 45 caliber Colt handguns and four M2 carbine rifles after killing
They're using 45s on Serpo?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on. What about the laser gun?
1960s.
Come on.
Yeah.
I feel like the gun technology needs to.
The Ebens don't have any weapons.
Yeah, the Ebens don't have weapons. However, the Americans brought 24 military handguns, 24 military rifles, 6 M66 weapons, 2 M40 grenade launchers, 2 military 6mm motor tubes with 30 rounds each.
This is just an arms for aliens.
5,000 rounds of .223 ammunition, 500 rounds of .45 ammunition.
And also American rock and roll singer Ted Nugent.
Isn't that something?
the Ebens didn't have weapons. They had little smartphone devices that they kept on them at all times that the government, their government, which was just a seer, I guess like five elders, would tell them like what to do and what to do every single day. They had these towers in the center of their cities that would measure their suns and they would know what to do each day by where the positions of the suns were, and it was like, this is when we do business, this is when we hang out with family.
Let's go through what is a daily routine for a what are they called, Serpentonians?
They are called Ebens. They didn't have a name for themselves, so they told the astronauts that they were that welcome to Serpo, and that's when they learned about the name Serpo.
So you're an Eben, you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you got your Eben wife right next to you.
Actually,
you guys haven't loved each other in 30 years.
O'clock on which is the day of the week.
They speak in a tonal language.
Much like the orcas at SeaWorld, and I watched Blackfish yesterday. You gotta see it.
Don't depress me.
Don't go to SeaWorld.
Don't bring me down, Bruce.
I'm not bringing you down, buddy.
There was a part of it, too, where they gave the Ebens English learning tapes so that they can learn our language instead of us learning theirs because we just couldn't figure it out. And they picked
ours
up. But apparently they could not speak the letter L, Yeah. Which is, you know, not unlike certain cultures on our, Polish, yeah.
Well, they didn't replace it with anything. They just said, like, instead of saying look, they'd say look, 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 look.
I don't mind that. So, Ebens have jobs?
They like farmers. Some of them have to get the big potato-like things, and some of them have to get all the milk calm out of the trees.
Right.
Planet Eben is as far as government and community goes. There's virtually no crime seen by the team. There was no real form of government, only a system of leaders. They had an army, which also acted as a police force.
Okay.
There were regular meetings with each small community. There was one large community, which acted as the central point of the civilization. All the industry was at one large community. There was no money. Every Eben was issued what they needed. No stores, no malls, no shopping.
Yeah, what Obama wants to happen.
I mean, this is communism.
Yeah. There were central distribution centers where Ebens went to obtain items of needs.
A.K.A. FEMA death camps.
I agree. No guns. No individual rights. Uh-huh. You can't go shopping, buy the things that you would like to have.
No.
All Ebens worked in some capacity. Children were kept very isolated. The only trouble the team members got into was when they attempted to photograph Eben children. The army politely escorted them away and cautioned them not to do it again.
Yes, and they had a couple of there because
Death camps very deep inside this government.
Well, part of what they did with the sinister side of Serpo is that they said they found a genetic mutation sort of center where it's like basically the doctor of their group died of pneumonia on Serpo, and they would not let them see the body. The Ebens would not let the other astronauts see the body because they were like, normally we fix our people when they are sick, but we did not have time, so his corpse belongs to us now. And they're like,
No,
we're Americans, damn it. Our corpses belong to an Uncle Sam.
Right. They wanted to bring it back to American soil.
They walked
soil.
In there and they found that they had been messing with his DNA, and they started making like clones of him because they basically had a collection of Ebens. Well, Fjorn, I mean, they have different agendas than we do. That's the thing. Their agenda is something that we can't even understand.
Yeah, we don't
know. They had a whole like room of like animals from all over the galaxy, like that were like being manipulated by Eben scientists.
Sounds like we have a Stepford Wife situation.
Yeah, there's
going
a lot
on
of
here
stuff
as well.
In there.
Yeah, but you know what? They also enjoy the little things.
They do.
What's that?
Because our team, of course, we're Americans. Mm-hmm. We love our sports.
Exactly.
So can't be American if you're not swinging a bat and a ball. Believe me, I know. I got my golf clubs out every weekend.
Yes, you do.
And I'm beating people with them.
Well, our team brought along softball equipment for sporting activities.
They brought softball equipment as well. No food.
No food.
Okay. But they have enough to play softball.
They also brought four Jeeps.
Wow, this is a very large space.
Could have filled some of those trunks of the Jeeps with food as well. You know,
the Ebens would watch the game and laugh out loud, and apparently the Eben laugh sounded like a high-pitched yell.
We should stop being so funny, because when they laugh, it's really killing me slowly.
And eventually the Ebens started playing the game. But they just never could catch the ball before it hit the ground.
That is goofy.
And they tried playing football as well, but the Ebens just couldn't catch the ball before they hit the ground.
Yeah, there's just no Michael Jordans in that crew.
No, there are not. Eben Jordans.
Oh, and the team was also allowed to witness births. The team snooping around was able to capture the sexual activity of the Ebens.
What did that entail?
The males and females had similar sexual organs and performed intercourse.
Yeah, so just the males suck my dick. But it was more like,
Well, I've seen that porno. I like that one.
And they did have sex both for pleasure and for reproduction.
So the males and the females of the Eben people, they had similar sexual organs similar to people?
We couldn't see each other. They literally would
So they were just bumping
out of
heads? They would fold out of them there.
Yeah. And so basically they were on Serpo for 13 years.
Yeah.
And there was lots of this. There was very little controversy on Serpo.
They left. They were having a good time.
Yeah, there's really not much to the story besides the fact that they were there for accidents. They were supposed to be there for 10,
but now
being there for 13.
I was under the impression that two people died. Right now we just
know
the doctor
died. The other one who died, I believe, was an engineer.
Yeah, died of an injury,
He died of a fall. And this was kind of sweet. They didn't take the same tack with this one as they took with the doctor. This guy fell during some sort of routine maintenance. His body was all smashed up. The Ebens took him, and they took him to some sort of like medical center, and they put some sort of tube into his heart, and his heart started beating again. But his insides were so smashed up that they weren't able to bring him back. They kept it. They started getting his heart beating, but they weren't able to bring him back to life. And then
I think that's exactly what the doctors did for Dick Cheney. Isn't that interesting? He's a devil.
And then after they were unable to save his life, they gave him a traditional Eben funeral.
And what did that entail?
Screaming and
a lot of just yelling. Just a lot of high pitched yells. So
similar.
Laughing the whole way through.
So they came back and they were debriefed for literally 15 years.
Yeah.
The last one died in 2002, living in Boca Raton, Florida.
Really? He retired in Florida?
Yeah.
But one of them remained behind. One of them stayed on Serpo.
So I was under the impression two died and then two stayed behind.
Two
and
stayed
eight
behind.
Eight came back.
Two?
Yeah, and then eight came back. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the two that stuck around, I mean, I suppose they just they enjoyed the utopian type lifestyle,
maybe they really
learned to love the tree cum or something like that.
They don't say any details, but I'm pretty certain they just started fucking Ebens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think that they just stayed to fuck them.
And the Eben just looks like the traditional alien, right?
Yeah,
in our brains.
What they consider like the short gray.
Brownish
gray.
The most famous
ovoid eyes. Yeah. Yes, they look like that.
Yeah, the guys stay behind. The reason why any person goes to an exotic location. Weird sex.
Yeah. Now, there has been a lot of controversy as to whether or not this whole thing's real or not. All of this was delivered in anonymous emails. How many was 40, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
Now, what you'll notice is that this was originally, it was put on a UFO website where there's apparently filled with 150, which they called high-level UFO dignitaries. But former CIA, former, former secret op guys.
Usually dignitaries don't have Tostitos, liquid cheese on their ties.
Yes, but sometimes it's all about someone's brain. It's not about their body.
It's
just how they think,
I was being,
And so this started getting leaked, and so they created Serpo.org in order to start individually putting them up. And then Bill Ryan, who appeared on Coast to Coast first talking about it, basically took the website from Victor Ramirez, who first started it, and that started a blood feud between them. He just started taking it over and just saying that he was in charge of it. And
so
how did he
slowly push out Mr. Ramirez?
I'm sure he said Victor, you're not updating enough. Why don't you give me the admin password?
That's exactly what happened.
Why don't you give me the admin password? I'll take care of all this stuff because I know you're really busy with your beanie baby eBay business. Your beanie baby eBay business. Let me take
care of it. Because there's a lot of different ways they talk about debunking it. It's a part of a specific program. The time thing was one. The fact that when Bill Ryan took over, the entire format of the emails changed into these diary entries by a captain. If you want to read any selections from that.
Right. And then after,
this is day one.
Oh, my.
We are ready. Hard to think we finally made it. Team is motivated and calm. Final briefing by MTC and MTB. Cargo packed in EBE craft. Might have some problems with guns. We'll be talking to the MVC. 899 and 203 will have overall charge of weapons.
Yeah, because they went that was a big thing about the astronauts is that they were sheep dipped.
Yeah, sheep dipped.
Which is a term that I learned as well.
I've never heard of the term sheep
dipped. What is sheep dipping?
I mean, apparently what they did with these people is they took away their names, they gave them three-digit numbers.
They were all orphans.
I see.
These are
all people who had no real connections that they could essentially disappear off the face of the planet Earth and wouldn't really be missed.
These are the 12 military men that were sent to
the 12 military men and women If you believe that.
Yeah.
Because some people say that there were no women.
Like
some
Whitley Strieber wants to say that women couldn't do it.
There's a great the Coast to Coast episode about this. Whitley Strieber
is such a fucking nerd.
He is a total douche, by the way. He tells a story about how he was...
But quite frankly, I don't think they could have handled the environment.
Yeah, he hates women, and he doesn't believe that they would have been able to handle it. And he told a story on Coast to Coast about how he was giving a book, he was doing a little book speech, somebody comes up to him and he's like, I was abducted by aliens, and Whitley like laughs.
It's like, yeah.
And then the guy comes and whispers into his ear, Serpico.
He said,
he thought he heard Serpico, and he laughed and laughed. And then, 25 years later,
he gets an email about Serpo
from a man named Serpico. That was the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Was it from a man?
Named Serpico? It was a man. The man's code name was Serpo.
He could have just said Serpo. But it's saying,
and
it's
like, his detail. And now it all comes together. And it's like, no, that's not.
His detail was the man pushed his lips against his forehead and didn't say the word. He just like thought it into his head.
Well, the one that I heard, he heard it. So I think he might be changing his story. Yeah, Whitley Strieber is insane.
So there's a lot of controversies. Some people are just saying it's plain old made up.
No. Doubters. Haters.
My favorite supporting of saying it's real is that people like Bill Ryan are all being like, it would take a sci-fi genius to come up with the details in this story.
This is at best mediocre sci-fi.
It's 60 pages long.
It is. Another one of my favorite things about these individuals. Of course, mathematically, it doesn't add up as far as all the numbers, as far as like Serpo.
None of it does.
But this, for them, proves that it's real, because if the government made it up, then it would have worked out perfectly.
Absolutely.
But the fact that the numbers don't add up proves that it actually exists.
Yeah, and the same thing when they were talking about where, like, you know, it's insane. All the math is wrong about, like, the way it spins around, it sums and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, it's because it's a different galaxy. So, they've got different rules.
Yeah, and in fact, there's one full page of... I guess refutation emails when it, as you said, really goes off the rails.
It goes somewhere bit, like in the 33rd email. They start getting into personal attacks onto each other and talking about what's right and what's wrong about the math. And it's long pages and pages of just garbage. All this supplemental material. I'll put up the website on the Facebook page.
Yeah, put the website up. But okay,
here's some of the Q&A. Because I'm sure all of you have a lot of questions, a lot of the same questions that we have. But thankfully, Serpo.org has given us a Q&A. They've given us answers to all of our questions. Question: what do the Ebens look like? Answer: not clarified. This data has not yet been released.
That's fine. Okay, cool.
Classified. Good to know.
Why, if you read the manifest, you saw that they took electric heaters... Why did they take electric heaters to a very warm planet? As we all know, Serpo to be has two suns.
It runs from 94 degrees to 115 degrees every single day.
Very warm.
Oh, I could go for that right now, by the way. It's freezing here. It's cold here. We could go for another sun here on Earth, I'll tell you that.
Why did they take them?
Why?
Not clarified.
Okay, we'll have to say that.
They may not have known the temperature. It may have been routine military planning.
It could have been their lucky heaters.
Yeah, exactly.
Why... did they take 9,000 pounds of supplies, but no microscope?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question.
They took three telescopes.
And a couple of monocles, I heard. Yeah.
Not clarified.
Okay, but we just don't know yet, though.
Good telescopes would have been necessary to make accurate astronomical observations.
These seem more like questions and questions.
Yeah, there's just
very little answers.
Let's list the questions we all have.
Yeah, they had access to an energy device which automatically provided the proper current and wattage. But their clock stopped because they had no batteries. Why did they not rig this device up to the clock at 4.5 volts and 3 amps?
Well, you saying I'm a liar?
Not clarified.
Not clarified.
I feel like that's the answer that Bill Ryan and all these people have always been. Oh, yeah, so I'm a liar then.
You might be. You might just be an imaginative person. Well, okay, going back, though, real quick before we end up here. When they came back, the eight astronauts, they came back to Earth.
They died of radiation poisoning as well. That's what they said. They died of cancers.
That's interesting.
Because they were at a very high level of radiation.
15 years of debriefing. What did we learn? This is what we learned.
This is it.
This is it.
This was put together. So the end game.
But they didn't give us any secrets of life. They didn't give us any major technologies.
They said that they were spiritual like us. And that they were searching for a higher entity like we were.
Okay. But we're not getting drone technology from them.
Part of this is a thing called
zero technology from these people.
So what was the point of this trip?
It's like going abroad, you know?
Yeah, it's just like, what, what, did they go learn a different language? It's like, and then they're trying to fuck a
like,
French
chick? You eat some cheese, you have some sex, you yeah. know? Like
so
you
the
go
whole
to a couple
point
of
this was just to go abroad.
Yeah, just to hang out.
Exchange,
I see.
Dude.
It was an exchange
like
program.
When we go, we send
yeah, but,
one of our kids to Germany.
No, yeah, but they come back with information and like a different culture.
The idea was that the true exchange already happened. We got their technology so that we could beat the anti-gravity discs that the Nazis had.
Yeah, and also we got Wi-Fi.
And a part of the reason why this all got... so. I have like a couple last things to wrap up. The DIA that released this, apparently, the defense, I believe it's called the defense.
The defense information.
JFK started the DIA in order to counteract the CIA because he felt the CIA were working basically outside of the president.
He was proven right, but he said that the
DIA is now, which is true, which is like the whole point of it was supposed to be, I believe it's called the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
He's just coughing up a ham-filled croissant over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got to dip it more in that coffee of yours.
Well, apparently, so this is a team of DIA people. I'm putting it forward because the DIA wants there to be transparency in the intelligence world, and that's what this is for. Which I truly now believe, after reading this book and reading this in the response to this, honestly, I think that this is a genuine piece of disinformation. I think that this is purposefully put together.
These people are not even remotely intelligent enough.
No. They are not a part of the conspiracy. They got this anonymous guy, which there are several people that have been identified as anonymous, which is a guy named like Rick Doty. There's like another guy named Mr. X. Another guy that's like Rick Doty was a guy who was a security guard for the Pentagon. Who saw some shit? Apparently, he came out. But I genuinely believe that there are real facts about our engagement with aliens, and I believe that we have talked to aliens. Yeah. I am pretty certain of it.
What do you want to say to the aliens right now?
I want to say, bring me another ham and cheese croissant, because daddy be craving.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to let you do it, though.
This could have been written, like they said, there's no way anyone could have done this. This could have been written by a moderately talented creative writing
team. You just ask me questions, and I can make up answers to the questions. I do improv. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You just
make up things. They were not improv. Like,
but I really believe
no answers.
It's a Robert Heinlein novel. Like,
yes.
This is like Stranger in a Strange Land, pretty much.
All right. Strangers.
But I truly do believe that there are truths that are mixed into stuff like this, and that's
there are
why
no
like
truths in
but
this.
That's why there's so many
there is zero.
Not with this program, but right. It's just the idea that that's why there's so many spelling errors. It's supposed to make the people look stupid.
They are stupid.
Yes, they are stupid. But I think that's the problem. It's just so obviously stupid and so pushed forward that it's like
the government can't do anything, and I guarantee you they did not do this.
I have my theories.
Let him have his theories.
I'll let him have his theories. He's going to be the subject of last podcast. So sad.
I know the truth.
Holy Christ.
All right,
everybody. Yeah, we got to get out of here. But that's an initial episode on SERPO. Perhaps we'll come back and touch base with it again.
I'm going to put up the website on the Facebook page.
Yes.
Fucking just do it.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, check out the last podcast on the Left Facebook page.
Join up.
Holy
join
Christ,
us.
Man.
We're having so much fun.
We're like 100 new followers.
But people put more and more fun stuff up there every day.
That's right. And thank you forever. I love the Frenchman who jumped off the Eiffel Tower and just immediately plummeted to his death because he thought he created a parachute. Jacket. That's a brilliant video. So thank
also,
you.
Also, the video of that dude committing suicide like seven different ways.
Well, that's a fake one.
Yeah, I know. It was fun, though.
It was great. Yeah. I was happy that it was fake, for sure.
Yeah, and don't forget about our next live show.
That's right.
On December 28th.
That's right. I'm not going
home
for Christmas.
I hear Santa.
Hello.
No, I don't. Oh, no. He's.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he died of a fucking heart attack.
If you thought the last show wasn't gory enough for you, we've got some wonderful footage that involves how Jesus died.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It was bad.
True footage. The Filipinos take that shit seriously.
Yes,
they should have changed his name to Art after doing what they did to him. You know that story?
Indeed.
That
yes.
joke, that old joke?
Huh? Sure.
Man, no arms, no legs, nailed to a wall.
What do you call
him?
Art. That's fine.
You never seen that?
What do you call him?
Just,
what do you call him? What's his name?
It's
Art.
Fine. Art.
Got,
just Mugusulations. It's just
Mugusulations.
Fine.
Mugusulations.
It doesn't matter.
Yes. And yeah, December 20th. I'm not going out of town for Christmas. So
I'm here. I'm going to Florida.
What? So, December 28th.
What's his name?
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan,
now put up this stuff about Serpo. Go ruin your life.
Hail yourselves.
Al Gein, Magustalations.